Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
That's right, that's right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. And we are not going to let anything, nothing, or no one hold us back. Well, I just love the words to this song. That's why we use it every day as a theme and an affirmation to what we want, what we see for ourselves. You know, we see ourselves leaving negative people way behind. We see ourselves with a life turned around for success. Well, good morning, and welcome. We hope that you've had a tremendous and powerful, powerful weekend. We are excited still about some of the awesome things that are happening. We are glad and excited that you decided to tune in this morning to the Coach LaLisa Show. Good morning, good morning, Miss Patricia. Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, I tell you, I am excited. I am so excited about this new, it's a new, not only is it a new month, we know Friday began the month, and it is getting underway. It is getting underway. April, springtime. I changed the background in the chat room to coincide with the time that we're in right now, springtime. This is a time when things began to be fresh, and, you know, of course, we look forward to the summer, but this is a time, I believe, a time of freshness, a time of something new. It's spring. You know, the air is changing. Pretty soon, we're going to see the trees are changing, the leaves are changing. You know, the ground is changing. All winter, the ground has been under hibernation from all the snow and the cold and the elements, but it's spring. springtime now, and the ground is changing. It's thawed out. Things will begin to grow. You know, not a whole lot of things can grow in the wintertime. So let that be a symbol for your own life, that right now should be a growth period. Right now, things in your life should be growing. And so we want to help you with that growth. We want to help advance that growth. We want to help launch that growth to a whole nother level. And I want to use as a topic today, a topic that I chose for the show today, keys to planning for your success, keys to planning for, you know, the life that you want to live, the success that you want to have in your life. You know, you have to plan for success. It doesn't just fall out of the sky on you. It's not haphazard. You have to make a plan. And if you don't take the time, if you like, you know, they say, if you don't have time to do it right, how will you find time to do it over? So you want to find that time now. Make that plan. And if this is a time where, you know, you're in transition, a lot of people, when they're in transition, they get frustrated and impatient with where they're going next. But really, being in transition is a wonderful time because you have time on your hands to actually sit and make a plan. Whereas when things are moving fast for you and you're flowing, you don't always have a chance to stop and plan out where you want to go. So I'm offering my book today for those of you who want help with the planning, Release Your Power. You can purchase it from my website, LalisaJWilliams.com. You can purchase the book, Release Your Power, which has the keys to planning your life and having a successful life. Because, you know, you need power to bring about the things that you need done in your life. And so chapter one is about change. You know, chapter one is all about change. In order to get where you're going from where you are, it's going to take change. You know, if you want something that you've never had before, you have to do something that you've never done before. You know, you've heard the saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you have right now. And so it just makes sense that if you want something that you never had before, then you can't keep doing the same thing over and over that you've always done, because you'll only always have what you're having now. So change is the very first chapter in the book. And it talks about changing a lot of things, you know, a lot of things. But the chapter also warns you on what not to change. Because sometimes, you know, there are things that need to stay consistent and need to stay constant in our lives. For instance, let's just say you have a positive attitude and you always, you know, try to see the best in situations. Well, that's not something you want to change. On the other hand, let's say you're a person with a negative attitude. Now, see, that would be something that you would want to change. Again, maybe you're the type of person that you always wait till the last minute to do things. Believe me, I know that person personally. Been there, done that. So if that's the case, that would be something you want to change. But if that's not your problem, if your problem is being on time, being ahead of time, you see, that would be something you don't want to change. So the chapter also kind of, you know, talks about that, what to change. And then there are times when you want something different. You know, you want that successful career, that successful a section in the chapter on change that talks about making change work. And then there's times in our lives where we're trying to change. We know we need to change, okay? Because change is the only way you're going to get to your success. Because if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you have now. So in order to have anything, in order to keep growing, see, we want to keep growing, then you have to have change. In order to keep getting better, there must be change. Change is inevitable. And so, you know, you're growing and going closer and closer to your destiny, to your ultimate purpose in life. And so then there's times when you're trying to change and you're just not feeling it. It's just not, it's not lining up. It's not feeling comfortable. It's got you too discombobulated, so to speak, too confusing, you know, wishy-washy. Double-minded, not really, you know, working together with it. So there is another section in the chapter on change that talks about flowing with change, how to flow with it, going not against the grain of change, but going with the grain, you know, like a stream, a picture of a stream. And, you know, the water is flowing in one particular way of the stream. You know, some people, now imagine a leaf floating just along with the stream, right? And the leaf just floats and floats as the stream is going down, and the leaf might, you know, bump up against the little rocks here and there, but it's still flowing, you know, it's still going. Well, imagine if that leaf was to begin to try to go the opposite way. And you see, the resistance, you can even visualize it. That's what some people's lives are like. So the book talks about how to flow with the changes that are happening. You know, the changes in our ages, the changes in the economy, the changes in technology and scientific changes. There are ecological changes that are taking places. All right? There are emotional changes that happen to people, to women, and to men. It's definitely with children. We seem to notice it in children easily. We will say, oh, they're just in their adolescence. They're just teenagers. You see, we seem to notice it with children. But oftentimes when we get into adulthood, we tend to forget about the various stages of changes.
Made a lot of mistakes
for probably the first 50 years of my life. A lot of mistakes. And they, you know, made some good choices, too, along the way. Along the way, that's the interesting thing about, I'm sure, everyone's life. There have been mistakes, but there have been good choices as well. And I don't think a lot of people take the time to look at the good choices. I think most people only, a lot of times, not everybody, but a lot of people that are not as successful as they should be, I think it's because they spend a lot of time racking up all the mistakes they made in life and the bad choices. And they don't have an equal list, you know, they don't have a list of the good choices that they've made. Going back as far as possible, you know, that you can go back, okay? But, and even in the bad times, and even in the hard times, there were still times that you made good choices. So you need to look at that. You know, I remember sometimes I talk about my high school days, and I talk about all the negative things that happened. You know, just dropping out of school, doing drugs, being a disobedient child to my parents. But at that same time, I was very loyal to my friends. I had a set of friends that I was very loyal to them. And friend loyalty is a, you know, it's a good thing. And things that, you know, something that you can use, it's a good, that was a good choice to do that. Because being loyal to your friends at a certain, you know, as long as it doesn't get you, you know, land you in jail or in prison, you can use that experience for something positive later on in life. Or maybe while you were, even though, like for myself, even though I might have been in high school, things weren't going so great, but maybe during that time period, you know, I established a great relationship with, let's say, my grandmother or someone. So, you know, you got to look at the good somewhere along the way. Somewhere there was something good that came out of it, so that eventually we have a list of the positive things that we've done in life, the good things we've done, you know. I think about dropping out of high school. Yes, I did that. But at the same time, even before I went back to get a GED, I enrolled myself in a 9-month clerk typist course. So for 9 months, they taught me shorthand, and I got up to the speed of 120, because that was the requirement. And I learned to type up to 60 words a minute, because that was also the requirement in order to have passed this class. You had to have those two if you wanted to be placed in a job. And if some of you know, back in those days, the 1970s, this was around 1975, there was only the IBM typewriter had just come out in terms of, you know, coming to the marketplace. It may have been invented years before that, but it only hit the marketplace around 1975. And prior to that, it was that old typewriter that went, you know, it was so hard to push one key. But that's what we learned on, and that was really a source of, so if you could type, you know, 60 words a minute using that thing, you probably could type 80 words a minute using the, when the IBMs came out with the, they were like electric typewriters, and then the keys moved a little bit faster. Nothing like the computer today. Wow, the computer. I don't know what these kids type today. Not that they, with a computer, it was so fast that you don't really hear it much about them teaching typing, because it's so easy to click the keys and do it with, you know, one finger. But when I was coming along, you had to learn the full keyboard using, you know, all four fingers and, well, four on each hand, and using your thumb. And you had to do that without looking. So, you know, so there are good things also that you've done somewhere along the way of your life. And you need, and that's important as you are looking for, you know, the keys to planning your success. So these things do matter. They may not seem like very much at the time, but they really do matter. So the first step then in, you know, planning this life of success, and I know Patricia Martin, we were talking about last night, we were kind of talking about the topic, appreciate that you would put a thing or two in the chat room. Again, let me just say good morning and welcome everybody. I'm going to come back to my other thought. She says that she tells the kids that there are two types of choices, good and bad. And with them all, there is consequences. Oh, yes, there are. Yes, there are right choices in there. And, you know, both make the character of who you will become. Both good and bad, right and wrong. Choices ultimately will make you who you are. And now, in reaching a successful life, in being a success, you know, everyone has their own journey. So what might make your life successful may not work for my life. You know, other than some basic general things, like everyone needs to have a good attitude. Everyone needs to be forgiving. Everyone needs to have patience. Things like that. But everyone doesn't need to be a morning person. You may be a morning person. I may be a night person. You know, those kind of things are more individual. Everybody may not need to go to college and get a college degree, but yet everyone needs knowledge. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to go to a formal setting to get knowledge. Some people have to because they wouldn't get it otherwise. But I know people who live in the library who never set foot on a college campus, but they are 10 times more, you know, smarter than people who are in college every day getting degrees. You just need enough wisdom to make good choices concerning your life. It's not about who's smarter than who. Who cares? It's just about, do you have enough wisdom to make smart choices for your life? And if you plan to have children, can you make smart choices for your children's lives and teach them how to do it for themselves until they're old enough to do it for themselves? So that's also kind of interesting, watching how, you know, that whole thing transpires. And boy, that's got to be scary for parents to be responsible not only for your life, but for the success of another. That, to me, is, like, huge. That's bigger than big. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't get it right, probably because they didn't sit down and weigh it out before they decided to have children. They didn't count up the cost. They just thought it was easy. I hear so many parents say that, you know, they thought it was easy or they didn't think about it at all. And then they are faced with the situation and then they see how hard it is. But there's a lot of things like that in life. You know, you go in thinking that it's so easy. I think a lot of people would. I know I did it with marriage. I thought marriage was just like a natural thing that was going to happen. I did not know it was going to take all of this work. Oh, my God. The work is almost overwhelming sometimes. The work that it takes to keep a marriage together. And not saying that all marriages are not the same level of work. Just like all children don't require the same levels of discipline. You know, you hear those children, they get grown, and you hear them say, I never gave my parents a moment's trouble. Boy, my mother would have loved to have raised you because we gave my mom a fit. And I know I did. I can't speak for any of my siblings, but I certainly did. But you see that there's those kids who say, I never gave my mother a moment's trouble. I applaud people like that. I'm like, you go, girl. Or you go, boy. Good for you. Wasn't my story. And so, you know, it's hard work. Well, planning your life is going to make your work easier, you know, plan it out. So that's the first key, is change. The first key is change. And when you're planning your life for success. Now, the second key is self-assessing. You know, self-assessing. You have to know who you are. You really do have to know this. I mean, come on, let's face it. If you don't know you, hello, what is it that other people are going to know? Now, yes, there is some truth to the fact that you will have a blind side. You have a blind spot. There will be things about you that others know. And we did the whole Johari window on a past show where we talked about those four areas of ourselves. You know, there's a side of us that we know and others don't know. Then there's a side that others know and we don't know. There's a side of us that we know and they know, and there's a side that they know and they don't know, and we don't know either, basically. So, but let's take full control of what we can know about ourselves. We can't worry about the parts that are that blind spot that we don't really see, you know, but others can tell us about them. And then, and that's part of it, too, is asking others. In the book, I talk about that. Why don't you ask others about, you know, people that you trust, of course. You're not going to just ask anyone. You're going to ask people that you trust, even if they're going to tell you something you don't want to hear, but you still trust them. You trust that they're not just being vindictive or they're not just being angry or jealous. You want to get someone that really cares about you, in other words. No, you don't just want to have someone that's going to tell you everything you want to hear. But at the same time, you know, you have to be very careful of people. So anyway, what did we learn about that over this weekend at the Kingdom Women Empowerment Convention? And by the way, let me just back up from the self-assessment thing and just, you know, rewind into, oh my God, what a weekend. And I want to say first, not first, but maybe fourth, fifth, but Kiva Renee is back home, and we are so, so happy. We were on an emergency call yesterday, Kiva, when you called, but we are so, so happy to see that you're back home. You got on your flight. Yay. Yippee, yippee. I know you are so glad to be home, but oh my goodness, what a time we had. If you were not at the Wyndham Hotel, then you really missed an awesome, awesome treat. You really did. We had such a great time at the Wyndham Hotel on Friday night and Saturday. I wished all of you could have been there. It was absolutely awesome. Words cannot even describe. So we thank all of you who are tuned in today. For those of you who go back and listen to the archive, oh, I tell you, yes, we were missing several people. We wanted them to be there. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, it was one of those things where everyone who was really, really meant to be there was really, really there. And I know there's one or two people that really should have been there but wasn't. But for the most part, everyone that really should have been there was there, because it was just, I talk about flowing. Oh, we flowed, and somebody even said that. As a matter of fact, I think it was Janika, a young lady that was there, and she was telling Kelly that everything just flowed, just flowed, just flowed, you know. So it was, I mean, it really did. I mean, Friday, wow. Everything just, you know, worked so well together. We witnessed miraculous healing. We witnessed, you know, people being set free and delivered from demonic spirits. I mean, it was just a blessing. We just had such a great time. And we had fun, too. We had fun. We networked. We had some vendors in the back of the room. And, you know, people got to know each other. I mean, we just had a good time. I even have a voice today. Believe me, you, after Friday and Saturday, my voice was so raspy by Saturday night. Sunday, I went to church, and I normally sing in this one choir that we only sing twice a month, so I usually look forward to singing with them. The songs are very uplifting, but this was one Sunday I could not even get up to sing. That's how bad my voice was, and I said, you know what, I dare not strain it any further. And then today, this morning, I was very skeptical if I was going to be able to actually do the show this morning. And I pressed my way, and I got some tea, and I began to drink that this morning. And I said, you know what, I'm going to press my way on to the show. But that's how big the weekend was. It was just, I mean, bigger and bigger. And we had a great, great time. So if you missed it, don't worry. There'll be other opportunities. Kelly was over to the house she came over Saturday after the conference, and she was, what's next, and, you know, Dr. Booth, who spoke on Saturday, awesome, she also texted me on Facebook and said, what's next, so people are looking for what's next, and there is going to be a next, and a next, and a next. We just had a great time. But for those of you who are around on Thursday, we will be at the a big complex. So they're probably going to have meeting rooms and all of that and more. So I'm telling you, they're like, who knows, they may even turn it into a hotel. You never know. But it's going to be, it should be a pretty big ordeal. So we're going to be there doing a workshop and doing the start of a four-part series on career and how to advance your career, some of the keys to a career advancement, career adjustments, just even, you know, the career that you're in, you may want to enhance the career that you already have, or maybe you want a totally new career, maybe you want a career transition. So we'll be talking about enhancements, advancements, career transitions, career, getting your career started. Maybe you don't yet have a career, so we're going to be talking to people, showing them the difference between a job and a career. How long should you work on a job before you begin to look for a career? And talk about that. For some people, they still don't get the difference between a job and a career, so we're going to be kind of talking about that. Also talking about the talent that companies are now looking for. Companies are now referring to employees as talent, you know, and they're looking for certain types of talented people. They're looking for certain talents, and, you know, we know that's in scripture, right? The talents, the men with the talents. What's your talent? How are you using it? Well, companies are looking for people, and it's not that they've always looked for it. They may have referred to it as skills or what have you, but skills and talents are slightly different. But we're going to be talking about your talents, your gifts, your skills, and your abilities. We're talking about that also on Thursday, and then we'll, like I said, this will be the first four-part series. And so when you come out on Thursday, we'll give you the other dates. So make sure that you do come out on that day, on Thursday, April, that is actually Thursday, April the 7th. Thursday, April 7th. Okay, thank you for staying tuned for a second there. We had a little adjustment. So, yes, oh my God, it's going to be great, great, great. We're going to be at the it's called the Newark Screens. That's the name of the movie theater. It's called the Newark Screens. It's right there in Newark, New Jersey. So if you have anybody that you know who needs a, you know, check up on their career and they want to catch up, you might want to send them there, even if you can't attend. If you can't attend, you can ask others. Also, I will be there. I may have a few books on hand. I'm not sure because we have another event tomorrow night at Seton Hall University, so I'm not sure if I will have any books left, but if anyone does show up and they want to place an order, I will definitely have order forms. And now I'm going to open up the phone lines and let this caller ask a question or make a comment. Good morning, area code 81. Oh, is this Paul?
This is Paul from Tokyo. Boy, you can now identify me. First time.
Yes. Wow. Paul, how are you?
Doing very good. I'm glad you had a good show this weekend. And I had a story that I put on. There's a website I want to tell your listeners. I don't know if you've mentioned it before, but it's called Author's Den. And it's at authorsden.com. I've been on there for 9 years, and it's free. And they have a couple of extra levels you can go up for money, but you make your own web page, and you can put articles on there and stories and poetry, and on each article you can put a photo of the subject, and you know, when people search, if you know, like I do a lot of motivational self-help things, like connected with James Bond. So you write in your own tags, James Bond, Dr. No, whatever, motivational. you know, throughout the 10 years I've done it, and you can go back and edit in or change the picture. Often I expand on them. So I think that's a must for independent authors. Authorsden.com. Now, I put an article recently, and it's very popular. It's just a little short story with a moral that I wanted to share with your listeners. And there was an actor named George Raft. Now, he was a big star in the 30s and 40s, and he appeared in Ocean's 11 with Frank Sinatra in the 60s, and he was he played gangster parts, and he started as a dancer, and he played gangster parts with tough guy parts with James Cagney. So people might not know him today. Now, 10 years ago, there was a movie called Bugsy with Warren Beatty, and Bugsy, the true story of Bugsy Siegel, and Bugsy goes to Los Angeles. He's picked up by the actor George, and he goes on the set with George. Well, that's George Raft. And that's where Bugsy meets his girlfriend, Flamingo. So anyway, that's George Raft. Well, here's the story, and it's very popular. In 1931 at MGM, George Raft was making a MGM movie. He was a big co-star with Eddie Cantor, famous singer. He's making this movie called Balmy Days at the MGM studio. And one time on a break, he noticed this chorus girl, unknown chorus girl with red hair, and she's sitting in a corner crying. And now George Raft was known as the softest touch in Hollywood. He helped everybody, famous, unfamous. He gave money to everybody. Yet he was very self-reliant. He never wanted anybody else's help, but he always helped people. So he saw this beautiful redhead girl crying, and he goes up to her and he says, "What's wrong?" And she says, "I'm broke. I can't pay my rent. And worse, my mother's coming in from the east on the train tonight. I don't know what to do." So George Raft, he pulls out his wad of bills from his pocket and he gives her $100. Now that's more, about $1,500 value today, $100 back, and maybe even more, maybe $2,000. So he gives her that $100. And not only that, he gives her the use of his limousine and driver. And she says, "Okay, but I'm just going to take this $100 as a loan, and I'll pay it back someday." So she went in the limousine and with the driver, and they went to the Pasadena train station. And in fact, the Pasadena train station, that's where they filmed that scene for the movie Bugsy. But anyway, the mother was overwhelmed. She got off the train, this redhead girl, met her mother, and walked the mother over. Mother's expecting to ride in the taxi, and she says, "This limousine with a driver." She was overwhelmed. Naturally, the redhead girl was happy about that. The driver took them to a fancy restaurant, and they had the greatest time of their life. So several years later, Lucille Ball surprised George Raft by repaying the $100. Yes, that was I Love Lucy, this unknown redhead chorus girl that George Raft had helped. And then years later, she got famous with her TV show, I Love Lucy, famous and rich, and her and her husband, Desi Arnaz, they bought a movie studio, RKO, and a couple of other studio lots, and they became bigger than any studio boss ever had. They were running three studios, more sound stages than any of big shots, Harry Cohen and all those guys. So that chorus girl, redheaded chorus girl, became I Love Lucy, and pretty much ruled Hollywood. And over the years, she not only paid that $100 back, but when George Raft, of course, he gets older in the 50s and the 60s, and couldn't get many film jobs, Lucy helped out Raft getting him jobs. I bet she probably got him some secret money. Now, this story is not hearsay. This story was told by Lucy. not a hearsay story. Now, he had this, he had this wonderful reputation of giving. So at one point, when George Raft was having problems getting jobs, and he, of course, he liked to spend money, and he liked the racetrack, and so I learned a lot by reading that. You got one time he said the most he lost at a racetrack in one day was $10,000. Well, the most. What's the least what's the average he lost? You know, he would go there once a week. $10,000. That's $100,000 in, the 40s or the 50s. So he, he was making a lot of money. So I think that's a great lesson. Watch your money when it's coming in, when it's you're having a lot of success. Don't start buying too many limousines. Start putting some of that away. So you don't end up broke down the line. Now, when he was having this big tax problem and he had no money, back taxes, even he had to go to court and it made the newspapers, he never told anybody about it because he was very self-contained. He didn't want anybody's help. But in the mail, he received a blank check from Frank Sinatra with the note saying, just fill in any amount you need, George. So that says a lot about Sinatra, and it says, that's like the Wizard of Oz, but the wizard says to the Tin Man, a heart is not judged by how much you love, but how much you are loved by others. And Sinatra sent him that blank check because that's the kind of guy George was. He was giving to others, and now was his time, to receive something, to receive some help. And later, Frank Sinatra hired George Raft to appear in Ocean's 11, the original, 1960. And Sinatra always made sure he went to all the parties, so people took care of George Raft all the way, his whole life. So I just wanted to share some of those ideas. I've gotten a lot of feedback on the George Raft, that little story where he helps this. And we never know who we're helping, and even if that chorus girl didn't become, Lucille Ball, or become famous and rich, it doesn't matter because you're helping somebody. I mean, most of the people we help are not going to become giant movie stars. So that makes a fun story, but it's not necessary that they become giant, but you never know who you're helping or what they will become. You might be cash you give them. You might give them a book, a good word. So this story illustrates the power of a gesture to someone in need at the right time. So that's my story, Coach. Just wanted to tell you that story.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome story. Oh, my God, who would have thought? You don't know people's backgrounds and histories of how they get to where they get. But there's a lot of research out there that talks about people getting to someplace big in life because of some other person, something that somebody, did for them.
Sure,
you never know.
Yeah. Everybody has a mentor. It could be a high school teacher. Often it's a high school teacher that many people credit that became successful later. And this reminds me of something very quickly. I teach the James Bond Lifestyle. I was on your show for that James Bond Lifestyle month of February. Just recently I found Sean Connery. He was inducted into the American Film Institute, and he got an award. And this was a couple of years ago, and everybody came. And I saw his speech on YouTube and watched his whole acceptance speech. And he said, the main reason I am successful was because at the age of 5, I learned to read. I was so happy because, Sean Connery was James Bond, and one of the rules of my James Bond lifestyle is I read one book a week at least. And here's James Bond himself saying, my number one reason I was successful in life is because I learned to read.
know, again, you know, we're talking about planning out your success. Keys to planning your success today. That's what we're talking about. It can be done. You're listening right now to Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, who is calling from Tokyo, Japan, was there throughout this entire situation that's been happening over in Japan. He's been our sort of, you know, eyes and ears, you know, over there informing us about, you know, just to a minor level of some of the things that are happening. We didn't want to bog him down with telling us blow by blow, but kind of giving us that inside picture to what's happening. And, of course, we were very excited to hear that, you know, things were well with you and your family, and but we know it's been some interesting things there. But you are so right, you know. You never know who that one person. I look at just the fact to know you. When I first started the Coach Lalisa show, it was just a phantom that I would have someone with your background, a movie director, someone that has worked with stars like, you know, Frank Sinatra and Greg Norris from one of my favorite TV shows when I was growing up, Mission Impossible. I love that show. And to be talking to a person who has worked with that actor and others, and, you know, I just, wow, that was just mind-blowing to me. And here you were, just innocently tuning in to the show. And one day when you opened up and then you shared about the movies that you make, the audio books and of the James Bond lifestyle and how you, you know, recreated all of that, it was, like, so powerful. And still talking about being a Bond girl, being a being independent, being a businesswoman, and being intelligent, you know. So many things you've taught us, and it's just been my sheer pleasure. And so, yeah, you're right.
That's great.
Yes.
You mentioned Japan. I try to, you know, give some, you know, positive word on my, like, Facebook or when I talk to you. But I heard the story, a couple of sources, when there was that big earthquake. It was about 1:30 in the afternoon, a lot of people eating lunch, and that was a 9.0 earthquake that took for 5 minutes. I was in the first floor of a department store when it happened, and it shook for 5 minutes. Now, the department store buildings, all the buildings are on rollers, so I kind of rolled for 5 minutes as well as shook. But if anybody's been on the Universal Studio Tour, that's a 7.5 earthquake that they simulate on the tram tour, and that shakes for about 20 seconds. So mine was a 9.0 that shook continuously for 5 minutes. I mean, the ones I'm in, a lot of them here, but not as strong, but they are 15 seconds, you know, and this thing just never stopped. So what happened, the managers of the restaurants all throughout Japan, Tokyo, told the patrons, hey, go outside, it's safer, don't stay in here, everybody go outside. Of course, the managers, their job is to check the restrooms, make sure the people are out of there. So everybody went outside, all the restaurants in Japan, and 5 minutes, and, you know, and people, everybody was on their cell phone calling. Well, what happened? All the restaurants, the patrons came back in to pay their bills. So think about that. You know, they're worried about, you know, loved ones. They got things to do. The trains are stopping, things like that. All kinds of emergency scenarios goes through your mind in that kind of an earthquake. Also, it's dangerous, you know, to get near a building because, you know, the tile and the outside things can fall on you. All the patrons walked back into the restaurants all over Japan and all over Tokyo and the big cities and paid their lunch bill. And some of the people who, you know, had to take off and go to homes to check loved ones, they came back the next day to pay their lunch bill, whether they had eaten all of it or not. And on top of that, there was not one reported event of looting. There was no looting at all in all of this, all through Japan. So I just thought that was pretty impressive. I stood in the, I had all the stationery and some postcards and some birthday cards that I had selected. trapped inside, that kind of thing. But I just thought it was better if I stayed inside. But after the earthquake stopped, I walked to the checkout counter, and there was still a lady there, and paid for my my items and walked home. I didn't realize the tidal wave and the true devastation that had happened there. So it just says a lot for the Japanese people doing that, and the way they're persevering with kind of good hope. Through all of this, I saw an interview with a very old woman, must have been 85 or 90, and she's in one of these basketball courts indoors with all these other people as a shelter area, and she said, "I'm just so grateful they give us two bowls of soup a day, and I'm very grateful for that." And I'm thinking, wow, so other people might be complaining that the government's not doing enough for them, but there's a lot of stories of perseverance and camaraderie that's happening here, so that's the positive thing. So I'll say goodbye and let you have your show back. I just wanted to tell you those stories.
Well, Paul, let me tell you, you know that you are always welcome, standing opportunity here with the Coach Alicia Show. We are just so honored that you make our show so international. I know there's been times when we've had Mr. Bonvito or something like that, Bonavito in Canada calling in. But we certainly appreciate how committed you are to tuning into the show. You're promoting the show. You've been on the show. And yes, anyone who wants to go back to the archives, we encourage you to go back and listen to all month for February. Every Monday, you can hear the teachings through a four-part series of the James Bond, Living the James Bond Lifestyle, starting with 21 Secrets of the James Bond Lifestyle. And what I love about that, for anyone who is looking to do a four-part series of anything, or a six-part series, or what have you, it's also a lesson in it for you to hear how you can break down a teaching into four parts. So I think that's also, very beneficial for a lot of people who tune into the show. I know for myself, it helped me when it came time for me to go, like I said, to Newark Screens to do this series for career advancement. I thought, wow. So, there's so many powerful things that you bring, to the show. And again, how would I ever in my lifetime think that I would get a chance to make a relationship and a connection with a Paul Kiriazi? Okay, so you never know where your life is going to take you and the people that you're going to meet and all that might come from that. I mean, for instance, what if now I get a call from Greg Norris, But, so these things happen, and so we are certainly excited about them. We don't take them lightly. We don't brush them off as little things, because little things, it says despise not small beginnings. And so with that being said, I also want to say good morning to the Motivation Master. I want to say good morning to all of you. Certainly you've been a big player in a lot of the things that we're doing. And Motivation Master, I just want to let you know that I am doing this coaching now using the True Colors. So I'm starting this. It'll be one-on-one coaching for some people. I'm using it as a one-on-one coaching tool to coach people to their personal success. So now I just added another tool to the coaching that I'm going to be doing, offering to people. So with Release Your Power, and the young lady that you referred to us over the weekend to come to the conference, she really, really, I'm telling you, I love her so much, Miss Brenda. It was just so powerful when, she really, really helped to change my life when she said that, she read the book Release Your Power and that chapter on change. And, I really, up to that point, I felt that, yes, the chapter could really help someone. But when she, just kind of described how it helped her, it just gave me that extra motivation, So I really, really appreciate you for having the book there at the Living Ground. And I would, we've talked before, but I would love to come down, to the Living Ground, do some workshops, even if it's, once a month for, individuals that you can gather there. And I definitely want to start, working with others, like I said, with the True Colors. But you too, Mr. Motivation Master, the doctor, Dr. Motivation, for sure, for sure. I mean, y'all, it was so funny because at the conference on Saturday, it's a convention because God told me to call it that. He said, this is bigger than what you can imagine. And he has proved it. He has so proved it in my mind. But on Saturday, the Motivation Master was able to come up for a few minutes, and toward the end, I'm telling you, y'all, it was a lot of women in the room because it was a women's conference, right? Convention. And here there were women all over the room, okay? Chit-chatting. Some were in the back talking with a couple of the vendors. Some were over on the side. It was toward the end. Well, when the Motivation Master got ready to speak, I'm telling you, it was like E.M. Hutton. I mean, you could have heard, like, the room went hush, like, it was like, okay, y'all. He's speaking. Be quiet. I'm telling you, it was like everyone shut up. I'm telling you, people were like, shh, okay, that's enough right now. We want to hear him. And I don't know if you noticed that, Mr. Master, but I'm telling you, it was. Everybody wanted to hear what you had to say. I mean, you were really a giant in the room at that moment. It was like, oh.
All right. Well, we're down to just the last few seconds of the show today. We want to thank you. This is Coach LaLisa here. You've been listening to one of our previously recorded shows. I hope certainly that you have enjoyed the show. We have just about 60 seconds left. I have to jump off now and get on to our morning inspiration call. I invite each and every one of you to get on the line for that, especially if you are a life coach, if you are a multi-level marketing expert or leader, or a multi-level marketing person, or if you're somebody who's interested in coaching or Compass, please tune in, dial in rather, to 218-339-4600, and the access code is 837-818-pound. You have to hit the pound sign after the access code, or you can simply go to my Facebook page, and you will get the number right there. Well, have a wonderful, wonderful, powerful weekend. By the way, go to my Facebook page if you're interested in some of the places where I'll be this weekend. I'll also be doing a interview or just doing a discussion. I will be a guest on Encouraging Moments with Kiva Renee in the morning. I believe that's 11 o'clock our time, Eastern Standard Time. So again, go to my Facebook page right here on Blog Talk Radio. So we'll see you back on Monday for the conclusion of Keys to Planning Your Success. Take care and have an awesome day.